Good morning. There we go. There's the talking volume. All right. Good to see everybody. I want to say a couple things just really quick. First of all, I want to thank Chrissy and Rob and the worship team for filling in for me over the last month or so, you know, a couple of weeks off. Everybody needs vacation, right? And you know how it feels like when you walk in, you see that Pastor Wes isn't here, and you're like, it's different, right? It's just different. Well, we feel the same way as pastors when you guys aren't here. We know that it's vacation season, but we miss you when you're not here. And if you're home streaming, I know there are a bunch of people streaming last week. We miss you when you're not here. But if you notice, Pastor Wes and Serena aren't here. You're right there. I know you are. Zoom in really close here. I'm going to make eye contact with you. This is going to freak everybody out. We good? We're about as close as we can get. Don't get too close. All right. We miss you. We love you. Can you shout really loud? I think he can hear you. We didn't really know what we were going to shout, but we miss you guys. But with that said, we have a very special guest. He's been here a few times and good friend of Pastor Wes for decades, even before I knew you. And as a kid growing up in around Central Assembly and seeing you, I have to share this because I do, I think, every time you're here. But you all know Burger King? Well, before they used to charge for pickles, I used to ask for a cup of pickle slices. That was my thing as a kid. I don't know why. And you came up and started nicknaming me the Pickle Boy or Pickle King or something like that. Pickle Man, you know, and whatever. But so we have, before we welcome Pastor Felix, he is the lead pastor, senior pastor at Oak Crest Church of God in Muskegon. And also, maybe you can speak to the chapter 33, is that what it is? Okay, and speak to that just briefly so everybody knows who you are. But would you welcome Pastor Felix Adami?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. It's a really good morning. Yeah. Pastor Wes and I, we were sharing a little bit about how he came to know the Lord. And this blew me away because I didn't know some of the details that took place when he came to know Christ. I knew that I was witnessing to him, and he kept going over to Serena and saying, this guy is being a pain. But what it was the Holy Spirit working in his life. And he told me that the night that he accepted Christ, he felt like Jesus literally came into the room. And he walked up to Serena and he said, hey, I've met Jesus, or I saw Jesus. Well, I didn't know that. But the night that I got saved, I was, and I think I've shared it with you, I was sitting at a party with all kinds of people around, and we had all the junk on the table and everything. We were playing cards. And I myself sensed the Lord coming into the room and looking at me. And I yelled out loud, don't you look at me! And everybody said, what is wrong with you? But I just found out a couple of weeks ago that Wes had seen the Lord that drew him to the Lord, and it was the same thing that happened to me, you know, and that was quite amazing. So, I want to thank you so much for being here. I know that Wes loves you. He's always talking about you. I think we talk, on a weekly basis, we call each other and so forth. So, we're very good friends. I have the privilege of working with him. And we've known each other for over, 40 years, something like that. So he's a good guy, believe me. But I wanted to share something with this congregation. I have never shared this message before. I've been ministering for 30, 40 years, and I've never shared this message until 2 weeks ago. I shared it at our church. Our lead pastor, Rick Roger, was on vacation, and I told him what I was going to share, and he agreed with me. And but I wanted to just be open, be friendly, and I hope I'll be back next time after I get done teaching this. But let's pray. Father, I thank you once again. Lord, I submit myself to you, and I ask that you would help us through this time. I ask that the Holy Spirit, you're not an it, you're a person. Take over this congregation, and thank you for our hearts, that our hearts may be softened to what you have in store for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Central Family Worship Center, church family. I want to talk to you about something that is personal to me, to my life. And it's not just practical, but I believe it's spiritual. This isn't about money. It's about our hearts, our trust, and the relationship we have with God. And I want you to clearly hear me from the very beginning. This is not something that we want to take away from you. I'm here because God wants something out of us. I'll be honest with you. I didn't want to preach this message. I told the Lord a couple weeks ago, I don't want to preach this message, Lord. But he said, I gave you this message for a reason. So I want you to go ahead and bring it to the congregation. But let's walk through this, family. Let's walk with this with an open heart. There's no pressure on this. And let's just see what God has something greater than our finances, because God is after our faith. One of the ways God has worked and shaped my life is through this. And this is the area of giving. Not because it's always easy, but because it requires it. Let me give you an example. I went through a very challenging time in my life when I was a single parent. And at that time, I was having some complications. I would say a little bit of rebellion because of what I was going through. So I started doing things that I thought, well, I'm going to take care of myself. So I thought I'd go buy a new bike, buy all this, and do all the other things besides taking care of what needed to be taken care of. Well, it just so happened that all of a sudden, all the bills started piling up. My daycare started calling and said, you know what? I know you're in a tough situation. I know that you're a single parent. I know that the kids are only 3-4 years old. But, you know, it's piling up. So at that time, I was dating Diane, my wife, my girlfriend. Oh, she's the best thing ever besides the Lord. But we've been married for 32 years, and she's a phenomenal woman. But I started sharing with her and says, you know what? I don't understand. All of a sudden, this is happening, and daycare is calling and wanting to know when I would be able to make the next payment. Well, Diane goes right to the issue. She goes, Felix, have you been tithing? That's one thing I didn't want to hear. What do you mean? I've been giving whatever I could, you know, and so forth. She goes, no, have you been tithing? And I told her, says, well, not really. So I thought, you know what? I felt conviction. I went to my checkbook. I wrote the check, and I drove to Central Assembly, and I met with Pastor Brown. I said, Pastor Brown, here's my tithe. You know, I haven't been giving you the tithe. It's not about money, folks. Trust me. Do you think God is up there thinking, how am I going to pay the bill up here? Do you think God is filing for bankrupt? This is not about money, guys. It's about our hearts. Money's got nothing to do with it. Money has got nothing to do with it. He's after something that he wants us to have in place. Man, I tell you what, man. I don't believe God is lacking anything. He's lacking one thing that he desires most of all. And he's not lacking it because he wants that relationship with us. The theme of it is the tithe is not about money. It's about honoring God with what is first. first. And when we ask and what we take, what belongs to him, here's what happens. I've learned it for myself. It leads to disorder and destruction. Hear me out. Let's just walk through this, okay? Let's talk about this. Let's walk through this with 6 bullet points. And let me introduce it. Let's read Genesis 2:15 through 17. Then the Lord took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, commanded. It wasn't a question or a suggestion. He commanded it. And when God commands something, I think it'd be a good idea if we follow it. So he commanded the man, saying, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat. See, God has already provided what we need. God has already provided. He said you can freely, freely eat of it. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not. Don't even monkey with it. Don't even go by it. Don't even, because I tell you what, the enemy loves to get you near it, and then he can try to convince you of what's not right. For in the day that you will eat it, you shall surely die. Genesis 4:8. Now Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and killed him. Did you wonder where he learned that? Have you thought about, wait a second, something had to been building up. How did he learn how to kill? Something happened in the garden that opened the door for those situations to come into our lives. Let's look at the very first bullet point. Number one, the tithe principle started in Eden. Pastor Rick and I were talking about the tithe. And he said that's one of the most challenges, but yet the most freedom messages we can give the congregation. So we started talking about the tithe and so forth, and I explained to him that we don't even monkey with it. It comes right off of our account and so forth. But I thought, you know what? Something happened there. Something happened. And I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself, so help me out. God tells Adam, you may freely eat, but of the tree you shall not eat. Let me give you some insight. God gave everything, but reserved one portion. Let's define the tithe. The tithe means tenth. It is the first portion set apart for God. From the very beginning, God established truth. The first belongs to God. Again, number one, the title principle started in Eden. Before money, before the law, there was a principle. The tree. God's portion. See, it's not evil, and it's reserved. It was a test of honor and obedience. You know, God was saying you can have everything, everything in the garden, but acknowledge me first. Acknowledge me first. And that's his heart's desire. Connection to the tithe, God gives us 100%. He asks for a portion back, not because he needs it, but establish order and lordship. Let me tell you what. God doesn't need your money. He doesn't. He doesn't. Leviticus 27:30 says, the tithe is the Lord. It doesn't belong to us. is already his. Here's the truth. The tithe is not a donation. It's a return of what belongs to God. Let me give you an illustration. My son, wonderful young man, he wanted to use, I had a 1963 Fury 2. He asked me one day, he says, Dad, can I borrow your car so I can go so and so? I gave him the keys. I said, just be careful. That's my baby. Take care of it. So he goes for the day. And this is an example of what I can use for the tithe. The car belonged to me, right? I let him use it, right? But I want it back because it belongs to me, right? So he goes and drives it, you know, uses almost all the gas. It has a great time with his friends. Hot rods it. I know he hot rodded it. I know he did because that baby has some power. But it was mine, right? I paid for that. I had the title. I had the keys for it. He went and enjoyed it. When he comes back with a tire, says, here you go, Dad. That belonged to me. How come you're only bringing me a tire? But yet that car belonged to me. And sometimes if we're not careful, we'll just give him the leftovers when he wants the whole car back. Because that belongs to him. The tithe belongs to him. Eve took what belonged to God. Genesis 3, 1, 2, 3. Now, the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, stop there. What going on here? My own thought is that they had been talking before. I got a feeling that Adam and Eve had talked to this dude before. Otherwise, they would have been shocked. What are you doing talking to me? See, I got a feeling that if we're not careful, we'll get close enough to what belongs to God. And sooner or later, we're going to take it. We're going to take it for our own pleasure. And the serpent, cunning, was more the beast of the field which God had made. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Now, wait a second. How did he know what God said? How did he know exactly what God had said? I got a feeling somebody was eavesdropping. And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the tree of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the tree, fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor you shall touch it, lest you die. See, Eve took from the tree. Eve took what belonged to God. Eve took the first fruit. What happened? This is the picture of the first fruit taking God's portion. Now, it blew me away that it was a fruit. And it blew me away that Eve took the first fruit. The tithe is called the first fruit, isn't it, if I'm not mistaken? Now, isn't it something that Eve took the first fruit from the tree and that caused separation between us and God? What blew me away later on, I'll share that Jesus was the first fruit, right? And Jesus took it back to the tree so we could have that relationship once again restored. See what happened spiritually? She ignored God's instruction. And if we're not careful, we'll do that. She took what was set apart. She put herself in God's place. It's the same thing today with us. It's not about money, it's about ownership. Who does it belong to? Does it belong to us or does it belong to God? Well, let me clarify it. Malachi 3:8-9. Will a man rob God? See, you don't steal what's yours. You take what belongs to someone else. Here's a key statement. When we keep the tithe, we are doing the same thing Eve did. Are we still doing okay? Thank you. Taking what God said was his. Here's an application for all of us. Am I honoring God first or myself? Here's another question. Do I trust God enough to release what belongs to him? Listen. I didn't want to preach this. Blame God. But this is something that can liberate us. Trust me. I've done it. God wants us to go ahead and just trust him. Bullet number 3. The result. Sin multiplies. Listen carefully. Genesis 4:8. Genesis 4:8. Cain killed Abel. This didn't start in chapter 4. It started in chapter 3 with Eve. That's where it all started. That's where it all started. Again, I asked the Lord, it's like, man, Cain really messed up, didn't he? He really messed up by not bringing the first fruit. And God says, no. No, it didn't start with Cain. It started with Eve and Adam and Eve. I'm not going to throw all the blame on Eve because Adam was standing right there too. Like, dude, do something. I mean, can't you see what's happening? God, when God's order is broken, here's what happens. Genesis 4 offering. Abel brought first fruit. That was a blood sacrifice, by the way. Cain brought an offering, not the first, but it was the leftovers. God accepted Abel's but rejected Cain. Why? Because God always receives what's first and what's honored. Hebrews 11:4. By faith, Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice. Here's the pattern, folks, really, if you want to think about it. Eve takes God's portion, right? Cain dishonors God's portion. Sin escalated into murder. Something died. And the first thing the Lord brought to my attention, to me, was, Felix, what's dead in your life? What is it? Is it your relationship with your wife? Is it your relationship with your children? Is it our relationship? Something has died. Something has been murdered. This order always leads. Always. This order always leads to destruction. Here's a key truth. If God is not first in our lives, something else will take its place. Trust me. And it will lead to brokenness. I have taught my children this. I've always told them. I says, if you don't make something a priority, listen to me. If you don't make something a priority, it will become optional.
That's right.
Trust me. I'm just sharing with you what I've gone through when I'm still learning. If you don't make something a priority, I promise you, it will become optional. Optional, I'll do whenever I can. Optional, if I feel good. Optional, if I have enough money. Again, family, trust me. Again, I know I keep on saying this. It's not about money. God is not finally bankrupt. He wants something out of us. The Lord is faithful. The Lord is faithful. Key number four. Are we still doing okay? Are we doing okay? Pastor Wes, Serena, are you guys doing okay? We're doing great over here. No, we do miss you guys. Key number four, the tithe is about lordship. Let me tell you what, tithing will answer one question, and that is, who is first in our lives? Proverbs 3, 9 through 10, it says, honor, 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 honor. Do you know what honor means? Everybody's shaking their hands. Yes, I know what it is. Well, let me tell you what it is. It says, honor the Lord with your wealth and with first fruit. First fruit. Let's notice. He says, not leftovers, not convenience, but first. But first. Folks, I've seen it. I've lived it. I have lived it. I can brag on God like you know tomorrow. And this is not to pat myself in the back and Josh, I've known you for years. God has blessed me tremendously. I got wonderful children, grandchildren. I'm blessed at church. I'm blessed in my rising up. I love that song. God has good plans for me. Felix Adami. You know what? He knows my name. And he knows your name. And he knows your name. God has great plans for you. It blows me away, people, to know that the creator of this universe, if you get a chance, go on YouTube and type in Francis Chan, The Awe of God. He takes a picture of mountains of the world, then he goes thousands of miles away from the earth, and the earth looks like this. Then he goes further back, further back, further back, but you can't even see the earth. You can't even see it. And yet we have a God that came down to this earth because he knew each one of us would need it, that relationship with him. Here's some key points. I love, I got key points for everywhere. The tithe is a test of trust. It positions God as the provider. And listen, it protects our hearts from greed. It protects us from greed. And I thought, oh, that is so true. Where your tithe goes, your heart will follow. Where your tithe goes, your heart will follow. Key number five. Jesus, the first fruit restoration. I think I left my water down there, but this is good. Excuse me, folks. Didn't the worship team do a great job? My goodness. Give it up one more time for the worship team. Boy, you got a mean drummer over there. And then you got singers. Huh? I know. And then you got awesome singers and everything. Don't take this for granted. And I'll step aside just a little bit from my message. I've been at churches. They don't have what you have. They don't. Don't take it for granted. It can be taken away like this. So they did a great job. Great job. Key number five. Jesus, the first fruit, restoration. When Adam and Eve failed, guess what? Jesus succeeded. Adam took fleshly desires, took the first fruit from the tree. God gave Jesus the first fruit of restoration, took it back to the tree where it all started. Something about trees, you know, fruit, you know, so forth. Jesus is called the first fruit, Corinthians 1:15. He became the first fruit for all of us. God gave his first so we could be restored. Here's a connection. Guess what? God didn't give us leftovers. He gave us his best. He brought the whole car back, not just a tire. He brought the whole car back. He gave his best. I mean, he loves each one of us so much that if we were the only ones here on this tiny little earth, he would have came for us. And I told my children many times, he says, never, 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 never underestimate the love of God in spite of any challenge that you go through. In spite of not understanding why things are happening in your life, trust me, I've been through it and still going through it. But you notice, I said, I'm going through it. I'm not staying there and making camp. And a lot of us, if we're not careful, we'll make camp in our situation. And you start bathing it, you start feeding it, it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. But he gave us his best so we can be restored, and he gave us his best. I believe that's the model of tithing for me. I believe that it's an excellent example of the tithing. Give him what's best. I tell you what, I know that there's many times that came my way that it was difficult. It was difficult. But yet, we obeyed. And Every single time, he always came through. Always, always, always. So let me ask you something. I want to go ahead and just ask with our hearts. I want to bring it all together with us. And let me just rephrase some of the things that we've been speaking of. In Eden, God reserved a portion. Eve took it. That's when sin entered. Now think out loud. She took something, sin entered. Cain dishonored it. Death followed it. Jesus restored it. Life is available. So, are we honoring God with what's first? or are we giving him leftovers? This issue is not about money. It's about obedience and trust. Are we still doing okay? Again, this is only the second time I've shared it. I shared it at our church a while ago. I believe every time Pastor Wes gets up here, and I believe when there's God-led people here preaching, it's almost like, have you ever been at a house when they are cooking fresh bread? I mean, you come in and you're like, oh, that smells so good. Doesn't that smell delicious? It's the same thing from what comes out of here. You've just had some fresh bread, and it smells terrific in God's nostrils. I know this is a challenging message. I'd rather please God and obey him than not to obey him. So this is a message not for just us, but I believe this is a message that can set a lot of people and a lot of families free. This church believes in you. I know he does. Pastor and I talk, like I told you, I believe on a weekly basis we talk. I won't tell you what we talk about, but no. I got a feeling when we get up to heaven, God's going to have to keep Wes and I apart. Because I tell you what, man, sorry about that, Wes. But it's true. Some of the things, because we used to be supervisors together at Halmed. Well, we won't go there, right, Wes? But folks, I'm praying that the Lord, not Felix, I'm praying that the Holy Spirit will drop a seed in your hearts so that we can respond to what he wants in our lives. He wants to give you the best. He wants to give you what's best for you. And he wants us to just have that love. One thing I'm learning more and more and more, the more I get to know God, the less I know him.
Yes, exactly.
For real.
Exactly.
The more I get to know God, the less I know him. I am reading a book, and I think I shared it with Pastor Wes. I read it already. Now I'm going through the study. And I don't know if any of you have read the book. But it's called Experiencing God. Don't read it. It'll mess you up. I mean, it has done so much for me. It's Experiencing God by, I believe it's Hendrik Blackaby. Powerful. That has got me on a journey. I've known the Lord for, oh my goodness, 1983. Some of you were just a blink. This has really, really, really done a great work in my life. It's telling me that I need to develop my love relationship with him because he wants it. He wants a relationship, a love relationship with us. And what I learned out of that book so far, I've learned a lot of things, but this is one that really jumped out to me. A lot of us know God, but we haven't really experienced God. A lot of us know God. We come to church and we do all of our things, but we need to experience him. How do we experience him? By loving him. How do I know my wife's favorite restaurant? How do I know what she likes and what she don't like? By spending time with her. I know my wife better than myself at times. And the reason why I know her is because I love her and I love spending time with her. That's the same thing Jesus, God wants to do with us. He does. He loves us beyond measures. So, in closing, I would like to, if you could stand to your feet. Are we still okay? Wes, Pastor Wes and Serena. Man, I hope you guys are having a great time. You got a wonderful family, and I know you're proud of them. So I'm going to pray a prayer for myself and for you as well. And I really apologize, but me and my wife oversee our small groups, and we do something. We take a break during the summer, but every month we do an outing. Well, the person that was going to do an outing for our small groups had to reschedule, but I didn't want to reschedule, so I told him we'll have it at our house. So it's at our house, and it's right after church today, so I'm going to have to sneak out of here afterwards. But I want to pray. I want to pray. I know this young lady for a long time. You're awesome. Same thing with you, huh? Man, what a team. What a team. What a team. If you would like to pray this prayer with me, and here's the prayer. I'll pray it. And then if you want to, you can repeat it as well. Are you ready? And I'm getting to that age where I need to turn up my hearing aid. So if I could hear you, that'd be awesome. We're there. I mean, I blinked. Yesterday I was 18. Now I'm 68. Life goes like that. Let's pray. Lord, forgive me for holding unto what belongs to you. Teach me to honor you with my first, not my leftovers. I choose today to put you first in my finance and my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless.